Hey friends, join us for another episode of On.net. Today we're going to learn about creating secretless apps with Azure Key Vault and Azure AD with our good friend Scott Addy. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of On.net. Today I'm really lucky to be joined by Scott Addy, a good friend and colleague, to talk about secretless apps with .NET and Azure. Hey, Scott, how you doing, friend?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on the show, Christos. Really appreciate it.
We're lucky to have you here and to learn from you. So what are we talking about today?
So today I want to talk about how to get yourself out of a common problem that many of us have found ourselves in at one point in our careers. Hopefully, it just took that one mistake to learn. I know it took me a couple of mistakes to learn from that, which is why I'm talking today about managing secrets in this case, a .NET 5 application. Mm-hmm. We're gonna look at an ASP.NET Core Blazor server app.
Nice.
And talk about how we do, how do we manage things like connection strings, API keys, usernames, passwords? How do we kind of tuck those away to the side so that they're not finding their way into our source control system of choice?
Yes, because config files littered with secrets and connection strings and things that you don't want to share will actually make it into source control, right? And then that becomes an attack vector. So we want to avoid any secrets in our code if possible, right?
That's correct. Never a good thing for your coworkers to find out that your super secure password is 1234.
Exclamation mark. Don't forget the exclamation mark.
See, you won up to me there, Christos.
Hey, there you go. It's all about security these days. Right. So, and what you're saying today is with .NET, but I think it applies to other languages and frameworks as well, right? It's not
correct.
Restricted to,
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll start off talking about what you can do without Azure and show you why that approach falls apart very quickly. And then we'll get into Azure Key Vault.
Yes.
As a secure means for storing the sensitive information we're talking about. But as you alluded to, Christos, this isn't a .NET-centric service. It can be used with virtually any programming language out there.
I love it. Right. Do you have any demos for us?
I actually do. So if we share my screen here. All right. So what you're seeing on the screen here is I've built a super awesome Contoso Investments Blazor server application. Show you
it's
what it
relevant
does.
Relevant these days with Bitcoin and all that. You need to track your stocks, right?
Right. So in this case, I'm interested in what my GameStop stock is.
Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, as one does.
To the moon. Oh, now it's 5.5 down.
Mm. Yeah. So here we're seeing it's a pretty rough day. I was hoping I'd be able to show you some green here, but the reason why I'm showing you this particular page is I'm actually calling off to a third-party API here to retrieve this real-time stock information, this quote that you're seeing here. It's calling off to Yahoo Finance, and I need an API key to retrieve that information.
Yes.
That's the problem we're setting out to solve.
Yes.
So let's go over to Visual Studio. Here is the app that you saw deployed out to Azure App Service.
Yep.
What most .NET developers would do is they'd say, well, I'm going to, stuff this API key in my app settings JSON file.
Obviously. Yep.
So you can see I, after making the mistake a few times, I said, no, I'm not going to do that. My API key is null.
Yes. Right? Nice.
If you've made that mistake, you've learned then that there is this local tool that ships with the .NET SDK called the Secret Manager.
Yes.
And the way that you can access that in Visual Studio is you can actually right-click your project, go to Manage User Secrets. Here is my super secret API key for calling off to that service. It's just a JSON file. Now, let's talk about why you don't want to do this once you push to production. One problem is, as you can see, there's no encryption here whatsoever. It's a plain text API key.
Yes.
The second problem I'll point out is the secret management tool is tied to a local user profile. And to sort of show you what I mean by that, if I were to hover over this secrets JSON tab, you're going to see that this is actually stored in my local user profile, the machine that I'm using.
Yep.
The problem then becomes, you check this project into source control, and any other team member who wants to get up and running with this project also requires knowledge of that API key.
Yep.
They're not going to have this secrets JSON file stored mm-hmm. in their user profile. That problem can be solved, but it's probably more of a headache than what you want to deal with.
Sure. So this is the secrets solution is very local, and it's very convenient for local development, but it doesn't scale well within larger teams and doesn't scale well with pushing code to production or what have you. Got it.
That's correct. So I'll show you one more tip with this. So if you're not a Visual Studio user, you might wonder, how do I use this without Visual Studio? You can access it through the .NET user secrets command that, mm-hmm. again, ships with the .NET SDK and is included in the CLI.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we want to pivot away from this approach here.
Yes.
And one of the things we're going to demonstrate is, first of all, where is this API key being used? Well, I've created a custom service class, just a C# class, that is responsible for sending HTTP requests out to that Yahoo Finance API. Mm-hmm. Specifically here on line 28, I'm setting an HTTP request header yes. called XRapid API key. Mm-hmm. And I am actually using the .NET options pattern here so that I have a strongly typed configuration object to work with. That API key is going to be stored in this API key property.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
That then, gets sent along, as I mentioned, with the request to the API. This options pattern I'm using here, you can see I'm injecting an iOptions instance.
Mm-hmm.
It's configured over here in my startup configure services method, if you're wondering how that works.
Right.
And I am binding it to this stock options section.
Mm-hmm.
You might be thinking, well, wait a minute, I recall seeing that in your app settings JSON file. And indeed, you did see it here. But as I mentioned, my API key is null. So
right. How does it get populated? I'm curious.
Right. So where do we go from there? That's the next question you're asking, right, Christos?
Yes.
How does it get populated?
Yes.
This is where we shift our attention over to our program CS file that you'll have in any ASP.NET Core, .NET Core application.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always, in an ASP.NET Core app, going to see this create host builder method. So you go to file, new project. The project will contain this method. The very first thing you should familiarize yourself with is this create default builder method that's invoked here. And here I'm hovering over that method to show this tooltip. And the reason why I'm doing that is I want to point out here that the secrets manager tool we looked at before this, as you can tell by reading the tooltip, is only added when running in the development environment. In other words, there is an environment variable ASP.NET Core is looking at. By default, on your development machine, that will be set to development,
mm-hmm.
which means, yet again, secrets management is a bad idea. It's not going to be configured at all when we deploy to Azure. How do we solve that problem? Well, we want to use Azure Key Vault in this case to solve this problem. We want to move what was in Secret Manager up to the Vault in Azure.
Right.
So we have this handy dandy configure app configuration method
mm-hmm.
that we can call here.
Right.
This is essentially a hook that we have into the collection of .NET configuration providers that have been configured or registered for this particular application. And so real quick, let me flip over to a GitHub page I have here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to look at the source code for ASP.NET Core, you would find this. And this is how you can get a deeper look at what I was showing in the tooltip. You can see that configure app configuration method by default will add all of these configuration providers. It'll add the JSON provider, and it'll
yep.
wire up to any of the app settings files that exist.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also add secrets, but again, only in the development environment.
Yes.
It'll also look for environment variables and any command line arguments that are passed along when running this from the CLI. We want to add a config provider like these but for Key Vault, something that knows how to interact with Key Vault.
Yes.
Let's flip back over to Visual Studio. And what I've done is I've created a custom extension method here that I've called configure Key Vault. I'm only invoking this if we are running in the production environment, right? So if we step into that, that's where the work is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
It's line 20 that you're seeing here.
Yes.
That is, I guess up on line 19, creating a secret client object that knows how to authenticate with the Key Vault resource up in Azure. And the first parameter here ends up being essentially a connection string to that Key Vault resource that I've already provisioned.
But with no secrets. So it's just a pointer to the URL of the Key Vault, correct?
No secrets. No.
Nice.
Get into that right now, actually. Mm-hmm. So we head over to the Azure Key Vault in the portal. I have, again, pre-provisioned this information.
Yep.
Here is my Azure Key Vault.
Yep.
Here is, on this other tab, my Azure App Service instance that has the web app running inside of it. The very first thing you need to do to get this working in Azure is you will deploy your application up there, in this case, to Azure App Service.
Mm-hmm.
Head over to this Identity tab, and you're going to notice that there are two tabs here, System Assigned, User Assigned. In this situation, we want a one-to-one mapping. We want a unique ID created for this web app in Azure Active Directory.
Right.
That belongs only to this resource, this web app. It's an exclusive identifier. And what that really means is that if I were to delete this web app, that identity would disappear, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you come out here, the first thing you're going to do is flip this toggle over to on, as you see it here. It'll be off by default. The reason why we're doing this is that allows the web app to communicate with other Azure services, Key Vault, for example.
Right.
The next step that was involved here is I went up to the configuration tab in the web app here.
Mm-hmm.
And the configuration tab allows you to override settings that are already defined in other locations, like the app settings JSON file.
Right.
Another thing you can do, though, is define environment variables, and that's what I've done here. Key Vault underscore endpoint.
Right.
And if I click that, there you go. That is the
Key Vault.
Correct. The endpoint that's used to access my Key Vault resource, which I have provisioned over on this other tab.
Right.
Now that I've configured that system assigned identity for my web app, it's time to add an access policy. And the way that I'm going to do that, you know, I already have it here, but the way that this would work is you would come in, go to add access policy, and you would say select principal. And this is where you're going to find, in this case, the web app. And so I called that Blazor server config. I could select that. And then secret permissions. For what I'm doing here in this application, I'm only fetching secret values from the vault. So in an ASP.NET Core app, that would require GET and list permissions. And then you can click Add and then Save on the next screen.
So that uses the account that has been configured on the web app to access your Key Vault with a very set of lockdown set of permissions. They can only get and list. So your app cannot go and create new secrets, cannot delete secrets. So it locks everything down nicely, and then your web app should be able to access the Key Vault secrets.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right.
The idea here with the secret permissions dropdown is to follow the principle of least privilege.
Mm-hmm.
So only give the application the permissions that are needed to function, to achieve whatever it is it's setting out to do.
Perfect.
So if we go back to our vault, one other thing we need to talk about now is secrets, because that's what we came here to do. So the yak shaving is behind us.
Well, the setup is done. Good.
We now come to secrets. And you see here I've actually got two secrets defined.
Mm-hmm.
One is that API key we've been talking about all along.
Yep.
And the other is a connection string I'm using for an Azure SignalR resource I'm using with this app. But let's focus on the API key. The very first thing you're going to notice as a .NET developer, you're thinking, well, so I've been told all along that the delimiter for these key names is a colon.
Yep.
You can't use a colon out here for a key vault. Instead, you use a double dash.
I've been bitten by that before, so it's a good pointer for reminding everyone.
And I'm pointing that out again because I've wasted many hours trying to.
If only there was a blog post.
If only. So here is where our API key is defined.
Right.
You would be able to just click generate import and add any key value pair that you want here.
Right.
Now that we've seen where that's stored, let's go back to Visual Studio and show you one more thing that's critical to understanding this. So I had called out the double dash that's being used in the key name in Key Vault. And in order for that double dash to be interpreted correctly by the .NET configuration API, there's some string substitution that needs to happen. The double dash needs to be replaced with that colon that we're all familiar with.
Right.
And so where that occurs, in case you're curious, is actually inside of this Key Vault Secret Manager instance that's being created right here. So if I go into that, I'll show you exactly.
That's built in, right? So you didn't create that one. That was built in.
Correct.
Yeah.
Great question. I did not create this. This just came with the NuGet package that was installed to interact with Key Vault.
Cool.
Here you're seeing on line 35, sure enough, the double dash is replaced with this constant, which is a just a colon. That's the delimiter that we're all accustomed to seeing.
Yep.
So now, now I guess that's the guts of what you need to know to work with Key Vault in an ASP.NET Core app. You can see on line 14 is where I'm actually retrieving that environment variable that I had defined in the app service configuration blade.
Yep.
So
perfect.
That will get you going. That is the basic information you need to get up and running.
So a little bit of configuration, five lines of code, maybe six, right? And then all your secrets can be substituted from Key Vault. You don't have to store anything sensitive in your application. So secretless.
This is all made easy just because of the flexible design of the .NET configuration API. You can plug in configuration providers like Key Vault, like Secret Manager, and it just works.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you. That was enlightening.
Thank you, Christos. I appreciate your time.
No, thank you for coming to talk to us about Key Vault and secrets. It's very important, and developers should know about these things. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for watching another episode of On.NET. Make sure to subscribe to receive news and updates, and we'll see you again soon.